Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We got into a big debate about it. It's not about being nice to Joe. It's not about covering for Joe. Speaking of quarterbacks, the most annoying quarterback in college football, I will tell you who that is at 10:15 Eastern on the Emerging Podcast Scene.
Are you satisfied with the work that Joe has done so far through three games?
Absolutely not.
He was good against the bad defense. He was bad against the good defenses.
Probably should be a little harder on him, though.
I don't think he was that good.
But would that, hold on, would that be good enough? Like, if he's just... If he struggles against the elite defenses and is good against everybody else, then you'd make the playoffs, wouldn't you?
You say he was good against the bad. Okay, you're asking a bunch of questions. Yep. Hold on. Answer those and I'll ask mine. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, if this continues, like, he should have opportunities against Detroit this week. And then you get into it the rest of the way. We start looking at a lot of winnable games. The Miami game now. And I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's 40, though.
He goes up against Carson Wentz in London.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like our defense will win that game now. Like, I've totally shifted my expectations on certain
things. They're playing the Steelers the week before in Ireland, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're just staying there. They're going to be, I would assume that's good for them, acclimated to, you know.
Don't you have to cross some body of water over there? I'm not.
Yeah,
familiar.
But it's like,
is it the English Channel?
It's like going from here to Windsor.
Yeah, but is it like the English Channel or whatever it is?
You got to swim it. The whole team has to.
I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
They got 6 hours. They better get their asses across.
You're
not going to be at the game on Sunday.
I have no idea what it is. Okay, now that you guys have answered your questions, let me say this. We set a low bar here for quarterbacks. So I don't think that Joe, going back to the Cincinnati game, what did we get? Did we give like a grade for the Cincinnati game for Joe? Or do we just say like B or something
like
that?
I think so.
Okay. If you gave him a B, we also know that we set a low bar here. So if we were fans of about 10 other teams that have had good quarterback play in the last decade, I think that we would be probably pretty disappointed in his performance against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why disappointed?
Because
the two turnovers weren't his fault. They should have been caught. And then it changes the stat line completely.
You're telling me you can't drive your offense down the field at all? Remember, like we've seen quarterbacks like Josh Allen has been able to drive offenses down the field. And I'm saying this is coming from a different perspective. If we had a better quarterback perspective over the last decade, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, Joe Flacco's got to be dropped in here. we're going to set a naturally higher bar. So I could, and you know what? I have to go back and watch the video, and I'm not going to do it because we're on to Detroit by now. But I could see myself that Monday going, hey, instead of getting mad at Andre Schmidt like I did, or mad that we missed kicks, he didn't do it on purpose. Here I am saying it again. He didn't miss it on purpose, but getting mad about missed kicks, I should have went, no, your quarterback play should have been good enough. Your play should have been good enough offense to not put yourself in that position. Their defense is terrible. You lost 17-16. You can't score more than 16 points against that defense. What did Carson Wentz put? Wait a minute. Here I am doing devil's advocate This is fun.
I know. I do
what
like
did
it.
What did suck-ass Carson Wentz do the other day against that team?
Remember, you had Judy dropping third down throws. We didn't have Judkins in that game, so we had a third down back that had to go the entire game that, you know, really that should have never been his role in that game. Your receivers have been an issue. You're relying on rookies like Harold Fannin.
But what tells you if we had a better quarterback play over 10 years.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones out there.
At
left tackle.
I didn't think it was that horrible. It just wasn't that good. But again, if you had a different perspective, we've had terrible quarterback play for the most part for 25 years. So we have a very low bar on passable QB play. So if we said that was good, it probably wouldn't be that good if you and I were on 550 WGR up in Buffalo, or on 105.7 The Fan, or even on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Our perspective would be different because we would have had better quarterback play sometime over the last decade. But we hold an exceedingly low bar for Joe. But what I'm getting away from what I really want to say here is that I have to task everybody with trying to pay attention to the readiness for a quarterback they can't see. We're just assuming things. We're assuming because we want to be more entertained. We are assuming that the veterans are going to get tired of being with Joe Flacco. We are assuming that Dillon Gabriel, we got to see Dillon Gabriel. It's just not true. I had a buddy of mine, a longtime buddy of mine that I've known since middle school, my buddy Zach. He texted me during that segment cussing me out. Going, absolutely, we need to see what Dillon Gabriel has. These rookies are the quarterback. College quarterbacks are terrible. Okay, so we're going to talk ourselves into not taking any quarterbacks when we did a 2 first-round pick thing for this coming year to not take a quarterback. We're going to do that again? Guys, get comfortable with one of the QBs because you're going to take one. And I'll tell you what, for Browns fans' sake, I'll say this. You better hope and pray Drew Aller puts it on Oregon on Saturday, and then on November 1st puts it on Ohio State. Because you'll be a lot more comfortable then. You will be so much more comfortable. Because it's classic, more bigger body, drop back guy, doesn't really run. I want to make it as comfortable as possible. Because everybody else, you're going to have questions. Garrett Nussmeier isn't the biggest guy in the world. Garrett Nussmeier leaves throws out there. Lenore Sellers, I do have questions of going from the first guy right to dump off. First read, dump off. He's got a big arm. He's a hell of an athlete. Like, I want it to be as comfortable as possible for you. So, when Dillon Gabriel plays, it's about his readiness to go out and play. Because his future more than likely is as a backup. Dillon Gabriel is not stopping us from taking a quarterback next year. We're just afraid, again, to take QBs. Because we had our heart broken once and the rest of them suck.
So you don't think if Joe Flacco plays the way he played against Cincinnati in the games upcoming, you don't think that is a recipe for this team playing winning Browns football this year?
They can win. He played well enough against Cincinnati. They lost. They can win. But it's not a recipe for winning Browns football. He doesn't play well enough for you to win. If he would have played well enough for you to win, you'd have won. He didn't play well enough to win. He certainly didn't play well enough to win against Green Bay, and you won. So you were able to rob one, and then the other one we say, well, he should have been 2-1. He didn't play well enough to get that job done. I mean, that defense is terrible. You should have been able to score more than 16 points. You should have been able to do more than just having Andre Schmidt trying to save you at the end of the game. You should have. You didn't. So I can blame it on the entire team game. And by the way, I'm saying everything that he would have probably said himself. If things would have been better during the game, we wouldn't have been so mad about the missed kick at the end of that game. So, yeah, we set a low bar here. Is that hard enough on Joe Flacco for everybody? Everybody who wants to make a change? And I don't even want to make a change.
It seems that you sound different today than you did. Maybe it's because we've had 2 more games.
Of course.
You sound way different today Joe Flacco than you did after the Cincinnati
game. And a big reason behind that is because I set a low bar for Joe. And the other thing is I don't believe that Dylan Gabriel is yet ready. That they've done nothing they've done has told you that Dylan Gabriel is ready to roll.
It doesn't matter who the GM has been. Seeing this many impact rookies this early, I can say this, I've never seen it like this before in Cleveland. Right? Like even Miles, Denzel, and Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was good really early. Right. Miles was statistically good, but not the player he was. Mm-hmm. Denzel had some learning curve there. That was a, and by the way, that's still the best first year rookie class I've seen until now.
It's interesting because I think when you weight the best, there's always bonus points attached to the best player from that class.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the draft class, even though it's not as deep, the draft class that contains Myles Garrett is probably going to be the one that stands out because you got the best defensive player in the entire NFL that year.
And it should be noted, that was 2017. I was conflating the Baker class with his class. So it was Baker, Denzel, and Nick Chubb. And obviously we know how the Baker thing went here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denzel was good early, but it took him probably another year or two to become this version of Denzel.
Right.
So I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that there are a lot of people saying, well, listen, if it's a bad season, just fire one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sacrificial lamb was easy because I don't think anybody in Cleveland agrees that Andrew's got a high batting average. Because it's got to be weighted for Deshaun and for Baker. And he is the guy that was progenated and pushed both those decisions internally. And that's before you get to the fact that because you traded for Deshaun, he then had a lot of bad drafts in a row because he didn't have first or second round picks several of those years.
Yeah. I just think the point that Ross made about firing him after this success, it does make it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Because you would have to justify it some kind of way. These are the reasons why we fired him. These are the reasons why we think we can do better. And it has very little to do with this year beyond what their record is ultimately going to be. And I think there was an understanding coming into this year that the record was not going to be something that was going to be as much part of the evaluation because the record was going to be bad.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is I think that might have been something Jimmy Haslam said in March, and I just have been around the NFL long enough that what an owner says in March does not mean diddly squat in December.
That's fair.
Now, and that's why I do
because
think...
Because he's emotional.
Yes. Well, and he's a human.
Yeah.
Like, if you go and go, well, okay, well, this year wasn't really that bad, or this season was bad, but that's... Like, you don't have to have a bad season to get fired because of the Deshaun thing, because of the Baker thing... Because if you look at the first two drafts, your first round picks are Jed Wills and Greg Newsom, and neither of those guys are getting extended. Jed's out of football mm-hmm. as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's why this draft class, like Kevin Stefanski right now, his saving grace is, well, remember that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, I kind of did that thing with Flacco for five games in 2023. His closest chip that he can play is 2023. With Andrew, being able to play it this year and in this way, like it's not one guy's popping right now. You've got three guys I think are outstanding, which are Judkins, Mason Graham, and Schlesinger. Fannin is right behind them. And then you have two more rookies still making an impact in Aiden Huntington as like a situational player and Dylan Sampson as a situational player as well.
Mm-hmm. So you think Andrew has a stronger case?
As of right
if,
now,
if
it's got to yeah, it's got to bear fruit over the next math is hard 14 games. But yeah, if this continues, but yet you're 4-13, it wouldn't really be a choice, right?
How much do you factor in the Jimmy Haslam part of this equation?
Oh, I mean, it's everything, right? It just depends on what are you specifically asking with that. Because Jimmy's omnipresent in all of this.
Yes, he is when it comes to Kevin and when it comes to Andrew. And understanding that Jimmy's fingerprints are all over part of the decisions that both have made.
So this is where I draw the line. And this has been reported in Cleveland. And I don't think the national media has, I think, done enough with this. I will not blame Jimmy Haslam for after they talked him into the idea of moving on from Baker and getting Deshaun.
Okay.
I will not blame him for saying or hearing, hey, they took us out of the running and our only hope is this Hail Mary for $235 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He didn't come up with the idea. He had to be sold the idea. And the people who came up with it and sold it were not just Andrew Berry, but it was Kevin Stefanski. Okay. So on the decision that I think is most fireable, his biggest crime is, I don't really like this, but I believe in the two of you, and I'm willing to gamble on the two of you. Everything else is fair, but on this one, it's the one that he kind of gets the Peterlin pass from me on the Deshaun thing, because he was just, all right, we're out. What do we have to do to get him? Let's go get him.
So the Deshaun thing looms over every single thing with this franchise.
Yeah.
Right? It's a big part of the reason why they're in the state that they're in. It's going to be part of the evaluation of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, right? In your mind, it's always going to be part of that evaluation. Yeah. So at what point is it no longer part of the conversation? At what point do you say, yeah, I'm not going to hold that against Andrew anymore, or I'm not going to hold that against Kevin anymore?
When they win,
they got to win. Is it amount of wins?
Yes, it is. Because here's the thing: it's not just that decision. What did that decision do? These guys walked into a pretty ready-made situation.
They did.
You had Baker, so you had the quarterback. You had the running back. You had two wide receivers in Jarvis and OBJ. Mm-hmm. You had Njoku. You had the offensive line, the interior of the offensive line. You had Myles Garrett. You had Denzel.
Right.
So your job was just to take it to the next level. They attempted to do that, and they failed.
See, that's the hard thing, I think, about this whole conversation, is that there have been different iterations of where the franchise is at when we're doing these evaluations. Because you're right. There were pieces here when both these guys arrived that made it seem like the Browns were more ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not right now, and everybody would admit that right now.
And it feels like a lot of fans that they wasted the window of Nick Chubb, of that championship window, whatever that was. It felt like that came and went on their watch, and they didn't backfill it enough with drafting and all the other things you do, even if there were some more positive things that we admit today.
So there needs to be, then for those fans, I would say that there needs to be, you know, significant hits for both of these guys to make up for what that was.
And the struggle there is with Andrew, well, I got six kids right now that I am amped to watch play
I get that.
For the next 14 games, no matter if the Browns win or loss. But with Stefanski, I think there's a bare minimum of wins that you need where I go, hey, you went more than anyone expected. Now you're cool. It doesn't have to be 9 to 10 wins.
What is it?
Probably 6 or 7 wins. If Vegas has you at 5.5.
Wow.
Did you just mouth fart at that?
I did, yeah.
That's
tough, that some beano. Dude.
Six wins?
Yeah, because winning is a product of your team, the collective, against the other team. How many of these games, the rest of the year, are the Browns as a team going to be favored?
Well, that depends on how you do in the next 3 games, right? Because if you're 3-3 in the next 6 games, all of a sudden that schedule looks like a cakewalk compared to the first 3. Going into the season, I think they were only favored in 1, and that was either the Jets or the Titans game.
Okay, so what has changed then?
Well, no. They can change it. How competitive you are changes your relation to how people expect you to do in each game.
Man, I think you're being too results-based. For a team that's
it's
not...
football. That's the point.
But I don't think this team, in its current state, is ready for that level of judgment.
What about last year? What about
2022 situation?
About 2021.
See, I think earlier during their tenure, that's what I was saying. There are different iterations of where this franchise is at, right? And I think you have to evaluate it based on that. So if you were having this conversation in 21-22, the team, the organization as a whole, was in a different place. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes. So now you're looking at this team and what it is. And I think we're in a situation where you have to judge them independent of the final result, because I don't think they're ready for that level of final judgment. It's kind of like if you're flipping a house, right? You're not going to put it up for sale if you're still working on the bathroom.
I think it's really hard to only win 3 games in a season. And I think it's really hard to do that 2 years in a row. 8 wins in 2 years, where one of the years you came in thinking playoffs is not enough. 9 wins still isn't enough, but at least you can say you doubled your wins, you beat the Vegas win total. Like, 6 wins this year would be an accomplishment, but that's where it's got to be. If you're 4-13, I don't give a rat's ass who your quarterback is. This is about competitiveness.
You expect Kevin to win under these circumstances?
Win. It's 6 games, Chris.
Yes, I know
that. 6 games is not winning.
6 games with a team.
6 games is losing with flair.
6 games with a team that people were projecting to have the number one overall pick in the draft.
I mean, Vegas said they were a 5.5-win team.
Yes.
So you're saying they have to over their win total by half a win.
Well, why
that
did...
That is Charmin soft when it comes to what you need to do to keep your damn job.
Vegas said 5.5 in part because they wanted people to bet on it. If they put it at 3.5, nobody was going to bet on it. You know what I mean?
I might have bet on it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Get the latest in Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on the field action. So subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now and get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps, everybody. Browns going to Detroit. Chance to take on one of the best teams in the National Football League. A lot of folks think Lions are the team to beat in the NFC this year. I do. I think they're a Super Bowl team, and I think they have a chance to get there this year. And I hope they do. I think they're fun, and I think they're really good. I love the way they play. I love their offense and their defenses. Their defense is hungry, and I like the way they play. For the Browns to go there, Andy, and have any chance, I think there are some guys who have to step up. And I say the guy that came to mind for me is also the same guy that came to mind for you. And the thing about this guy in this situation, what's happened in the first 3 games, I don't think it's all his fault. And I don't think you can blame him and say he's not doing his job and that he's not playing well through his own reasons. but it's wide receiver Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's all on Jerry. He's had a couple of drops. Yeah, we've seen that. But Jerry's a real solid NFL wide receiver. And just the way it's gone for him this year, man, it's been a really rough start. He's had 10 receptions on 21 targets in three games. So in other words, they're completing less than 50% of the hookups when Joe's throwing to Jerry. Now, some of that's on Joe. Some of that's on Jerry. Some of that might be on the offensive line. You know, maybe Joe's having to rush stuff. Some of it might be on play calling and scheme. But, man, when your top wide receiver, and there's no question Jerry's the Browns' top wide receiver, when your wide receiver has 10 catches on 21 targets, it's like, wow, that's not going to win you football games. And it's not. He's also trending in the wrong direction, because his yardage has gone down every game, and somehow against Green Bay, the offense was miserable, as we all know. But Jerry's performance, a big part of it. He had one catch for 17 yards on five targets. That's not going to get it done.
I'm going to go. I agree with you. It's Jerry Jeudy. He just has to hang on to the football. If he does, it changes everything. But it's not.
But he's got to. They got to get it to him where he can do something with it too.
And I don't. This might sound trite or kind of easy, but it's got to be Joe Flacco. If you want to look at it another way, Joe has got, and Andrew brought it up, and you know, if you were at the game, you saw it too. And sometimes it's easier to see it if you're sitting in the stands, but there are receivers that are open and he's not finding him. That flea flicker play was a disaster last week. It was a disaster, especially with, there were multiple guys open on that play downfield. And I don't know if Joe felt like the pocket was collapsing too. Because when I went back, I was like, okay, is this flea flicker supposed to be a short yardage flea flicker, almost like it's a middle screen? Like that, I was like, oh, this would be an interesting call. But when you go back and watch that play, I think there were only two offensive linemen who were in front of him directly, and they were both off to the right, and then he got tackled to the left. So I thought it was an interesting call, but there were guys wide open down the field, and he missed them. I love Joe, but he has got to be able to find some of these receivers downfield. If they drop the pass, it's on them. But Joe's got to give those guys the opportunity to make a play. And so if you're asking me if there's someone else that has to step up, and I might sound trite because he's a quarterback and we know he's touching the ball on 50% of the plays, it's got to be Joe Flacco. It's got to be.
It's that combination, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the offense has been miserable. I mean, we can all look at Quinshon Judkins and think, hey, there's something there. And guess what? I think there is. But this offense has scored 16, 17, and 13 points in its first three games. I mean, goodness gracious, that's not going to get her done. Fred's in Maple Heights. Hey, Fred.
Hey, you know what? Hey. I was thinking the same thing. Like I was just explaining that. What I think it is that if you look at Flacco, he's throwing the ball downward, you know, down towards the dirt, man, which means the receivers, Jerry Jeudy, them, they got to go low and get it. You're sending them guys across the middle of the field to go down and get balls. And I mean, guys I talked to that played the linebacker spot, I mean, that's a dangerous position to put your receiver in. And that's just what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he don't got the arm strength or to go down there. I know the pocket doesn't stay open long.
Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. He does have the arm strength to do it, though. That's the thing. I mean, I don't think he has the legs to do it. I do think he has the arm to do it. So it's this big conundrum.
So then, then we're on the same thing. Something that's stopping him. It might not be the arm strength. It might be, again, the legs. It might just be he's gotten older and he's not as mentally as sharp as he used to be. I mean, that happens to all of us. It's going to happen at some point. But you got to get that. It was happening with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was dropping the ball, too. And if you think about some of them passes, they were because you were sending them guys across the middle down there to scoop a ball. You looking for a concussion. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When you look at this team, it's hard. I think it's actually hard to come up with other guys and think, all right, who really needs to step it up? Because it's so clearly those two guys. You know, Joe's throwing a lot of passes, Andy. All right. Well, if you're gonna call for your quarterback to throw a lot of passes, then you guys better hook up. I mean, that's your combination right there. You know, if that combination's not working, it brings up this question. Well, then why the, you know what, are you throwing the ball so much? Why are you doing that? Your number one quarterback right now and your number one wide receiver aren't connecting, and you're leading the league in pass attempts for a quarterback? I mean, that's silly. Go run the football. But if Jerry can get one of those Jerry Jeudy games where he can bust out and get 150 yards, get 8-9 catches, and that's quite possible, then all of a sudden this might be a different looking offense. You know, I like Cedric Tillman. I've always liked Cedric, and he's still a young guy coming around. And you look at the other wide receivers, Isaiah Bond, all right, our fingers are all crossed. I think the problem is most of the other guys at the skill positions are young guys who we think, okay, well, we have to be patient there. You know, you still have to be patient with Harold Fannin, even though Harold's been terrific so far.
Yeah.
The running back, Samson and Judkins, okay, understand, got to be patient there. Jerome Ford's not getting the same opportunities because he's clearly behind Judkins.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get mad at him. Thrash isn't getting, you know, a huge opportunity yet. Bond isn't getting a huge opportunity yet, and he's only been here a month and a half or whatever it is. So, I mean, when you look at the offense and why it's struggling so much, it can be, I think, only four things. Quarterback, top wide receiver, offensive line, and play calling. You know, some combination of all of that is why this team hasn't scored more than 17 points in a game this year.
Yeah, I'm looking through Flacco's spray charts as we, you know, we were talking about this. I've been going through it the last couple of days, and it still is pretty amazing at how many times he has thrown the ball. He's thrown the ball 60 times under 20 yards. 60.
Yeah, that's,
under 20.
That's dink and dunk from a guy who's got a big arm.
Yeah, and so from 1 to 10, he's thrown the ball 30 times with 20 completions, 66.7 percentage from 1 to 10. And that's pretty much what we've been watching him have the most success with. If you go to 11 to 20, he's also thrown it 30 times with 18 completions. It's about 60%, so it's a little bit more. But when you hit that 21 to 30 yard, he's averaging about, I'm just looking at it, he's only completed 14 of 30, and his completion percentage is 46.7. That's where it's got to grow. I mean, if you want him to step up, it's got to be 21 plus on some of these, and he's got to be able to find the receiver. I bet if you go back and look at that last run that he had when he was with the Browns the first time, that these numbers would be completely flipped and everything over 21 when they were putting more than 21 and they were scoring 30 points a game. He was throwing for 300 yards. I mean, that was where he was. Now, maybe it's just age that he's kind of, you know, regressing that way. But I just think I don't think he's seeing the field.
Will's in Olmsted Township. Hi, Will.
Hey, welcome.
Will. Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
You know, I'm really frustrated that people are blaming Joe Flacco for his quarterback performance, but it's up to the offensive line. You know, he's not given enough time to look at the field and make the good decisions.
Well, they are playing with three out of five normal tackles. So, I mean, the point is valid. The question is, you know, does he have the best offensive line in front of him? It's a mix. I'm not going to sit here and say it's all on Joe, but we need Joe to raise to another level to be able to beat teams like Detroit next week. At some point has got to find a way to score 21 points in a game with the offense. Otherwise, it's going to be loser city for the rest of the year. They've got to start scoring more than 21 points. Every team in the NFL basically walks into the stadium and knows they're going to get to 21, except for the Browns.
Right. I know, but it's just so frustrating when we've known that our offensive line has been bad for several years, and he hasn't done anything to upgrade it. I mean, our defense is the best in the league, but what about the offense? You know, it's like they concentrated everything on the defense and not the offense.
Not necessarily. Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin. You tried to bring in Isaiah Bond. You signed late. You tried to bring in some guys, Dylan Sampson, on the offensive side of the ball. But I think we're seeing right now the investment in the defense has definitely paid off.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. And folks, this is going to be Guardians related at 722. I agree with Lima's wife about something. Your father-in-law ain't listening right now, is he? Tell him to turn off the radio. Make sure he does. We're getting back to the Guardians at 7:20. Also, Mary Kay going to join us at 8:20. The great Zach Meisel, who I don't know if he was the first one to break the story. He was the first one I saw from The Athletic, where Tarek Skubal rode with Stephen Vogt to the hospital to go meet David Fry.
I believe that was Evan Woodbury had the them riding together from M Live in
Michigan. Credit to him. Yeah. Credit to him. Also, we will have a couple of clips of media in Michigan melting down. Mitch is taking into stock right now about what's going on over there. He says they're not. It's like, well, they've already moved on to the Lions. Like, they're already talking about the Lions game on Sunday. But really?
You know who they're playing.
If the Browns were 2-1 and the Guardians had given up a 15.5 game lead, what would we be doing right now? Let's be honest with each other. What would we be doing right now? Would we be bitching about the Guardians, well, or would we be go? Would we just ignore it and go, Browns, Lions on set?
Because how many meltdowns can you have, though? Can you have one every single day? Or does at that point, does it sound like it's fake? It's scripted?
Well, somebody asked me yesterday in the afternoon. They go, well, dude, could they fire A.J. Hinch after this season? I go, nah, he's still a good manager. But I'm going, what, 15 games? It's a hell of a lot of games to give up, man. That is a huge lead to squander in just a couple of months.
Well, it's hard when you don't have your trash cans anymore, A.J.
Yeah, we had that removed that sounder, for this homestand.
No.
We're just going to do this.
I mean, it was proven.
Reckless speculation.
I was wondering.
Suspended people for seasons.
I was wondering why all the garbage was piling up. Oh, they had the trash cans removed.
Anywho, so we'll get back to the Guardians coming up at 7:22. There's more pressure on these rookies than anybody would care to mention. The Browns are 1-2. They're not 2-1. They got a big game coming up against the Lions. The Lions are averaging 34 points a game through three games.
Haven't played us yet. Haven't played our defense.
David Montgomery, the former Iowa State Cyclone, is averaging 6 yards a carry.
Well, yes.
He might be at seven. I got to take a look.
He had a 70-yard run in the last game.
He's averaging 6.9. Nice. He's averaging nearly 7 yards a carry right now. He and Jahmyr Gibbs both have 3 touchdowns. That run game's good. That run game's good. This is going to be a challenge. And especially for an attacking front that doesn't do much gap discipline there, that means there's going to be a lot more on your linebackers coming up on Sunday. But Ross Tucker, you know, we got a little snippet of it with Dane Brugler yesterday, and we're going to play that for a second coming up here in a bit. But Ross Tucker was on with Afternoon Drive, and Ross Tucker had this to say, and guys, don't go after the messenger. This is the way the NFL thinks of your situation right now. Hit it.
We're all humans. And recency bias is a real thing. It's not like you look at every draft pick and every free agent signing and say, okay, here's Andrew Berry's batting average. You do that, and then you just naturally more heavily weight what he's done more recently. And the draft class is unbelievable. They have 2 legit running backs, a legit tight end. The linebacker's a star. The D tackle looks like he might be a star. That's a lot. And by the way, they did this while acquiring extra draft picks for next year. If you're Jimmy Haslam and the fans are clamoring for change or whatever, now that you have these extra picks, are you going to move on from the guy that just had the best draft in the NFL in 2025? Who are you going to hire? Because these guys never bring in a retread. They always bring in somebody new. Do you think that's the best choice for the long-term health of a franchise to bring in someone that's never done it before, and you're going to trust him with the 2 first round picks and all the other picks over the guy that just crushed the draft for your franchise?
Can you crush the draft and still get 4 wins? Because if you only get 4 wins, how can I make an argument? Now, I've danced around this a little bit. If you look at that defense, there's a lot of Andrew Berry on that defense. That defense is a good defense, to the point where I kind of wanted to make a joke. Well, maybe you don't get rid of Andrew Berry. You just bring in an offensive general manager. We have offensive and defensive coordinators. Why do we just focus on one guy? Why don't we have an offensive general manager? I don't know how you guys make the picks. Maybe you can Rochambeau for it. I'm not sure.
Kenny, we've had so few, just quickly before we get into all that, we've had so few good drafts. since certainly 1999. And then you got to go really back and look at how the teams were put together to go to three AFC championship games in the 80s. And then you got to go back, you know, to win the championship. So, like, it got me thinking, what would this have to be to start to push this rookie class up historically? I know the bar is really low. And then I typed it into AI. All right, the 1964 draft class, Paul Warfield and Leroy Kelly were both a part of that one. The 57 draft class, you have Jim Brown.
You just
and
told
Gene
me you didn't like history 40 minutes ago.
That's why I had AI do it, because I couldn't do it myself. So Gene Hickerson and Jim Brown were in the same draft class. So what are we talking about here? And it got me thinking, if getting that extra first-round pick for next year turns into the quarterback of our future, now we're talking about this.
Do you trust him to make the quarterback pick of the future? Do you trust him?
I mean,
Ross can say whatever he wants. Does Ross trust him?
I gotta say, it's only been 3 weeks. There's been a little more trust.
There has been. But I just gave you an argument for defense.
It's a long way to go.
Any of my arguments for offense don't really turn out too great right now. By the way, here's
Dane. Well, Harold Fannin and Judkins.
Here's Dane.
I don't know about Sampson, but you know those two I'm pretty damn excited about.
Cedric Tillman, probably do better without hands. I mean, he's already tried it with two hands. Maybe he'd do better without hands. Here's Dane Brugler yesterday, said about the same thing. This is the Athletic's best draft analyst. Go ahead, hit it.
As long as ownership is realistic about what this team is and, you know, what the next two-year, three-year plan is. I mean, I was sitting at the 50-yard line watching that game on Sunday, and watching the impact that those rookies had it was really fun. And, I mean, this team, I don't have to tell you guys this, this team has not had a single top 50 draft pick the last 3 years. Like, and the decimation of that roster with young talent is evident. The four picks they had in the top 67, it's so critical for those guys, that core, to be productive this year, show promise. And we saw that on Sunday. I think that the promise of this rookie class and the reality check of where this team is right now, I would be pretty surprised if the head coach and general manager are not calling the shots this upcoming offseason.
You hear that? All the people want to get rid of Andrew Berry? He's calling you unrealistic. He was sitting amongst you on Sunday, calling you unrealistic.
Well, so he's adding something finally to the ledger, the for this regime ledger, which had been pretty out of whack, right? It had not been very even. It had been very lopsided. Wins and losses, that's the number one, right? That means more than anything else, wins and losses. All right, have you found a quarterback? That's right up there, too. Then what else? What else is it? All right, in the organizational stability, have you gotten rid of a lot of the nonsense? Have you gotten rid of, Kenny, a lot of the unforced errors? There's still some of that. I mean, having four quarterbacks in camp, I don't think that speaks well to your organization at all. Having two different quarterback competitions, one for your starter, one for your backup. We'll see how it plays out. If Dylan Gabriel ends up being the quarterback of the future, you guys can all laugh at me and say, oh, I thought you thought that was a big deal. But on paper right now, and even Daryl Moose Johnson was talking about it last game, and he's like,
he said it was a disaster or a waste of time?
Waste of time.
Said a total waste of time.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
And I think most of us agreed, right? That didn't really make a lot of sense. So the ledger has to start to balance up. Well, one way you can do that is having the rookies jump, not just be good, jump out. And they have jumped out at us through 3 weeks. And they made a trade that's going to land them an extra first. And right now, is Mason Graham the best player in this draft class after 3 weeks?
As of right now, yes.
Stupid
as
to even
right
talk
now, yes.
about that.
In the top 10, let me go back and look.
We're doing
but
the show 3 weeks in, so why not? What better time to have it? We'll reconvene next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. But that's,
I don't know. Leaves are starting to turn here.
Yeah, that's part of the fun. And at no point have I been like, Mason Graham doesn't look like he has a chance to be good.
But
no.
He plays defensive tackle, and so I have to show people, because I get a lot of things like, where's Mason Graham? Where's Mason Graham? Where's Mason Graham? And I have to show them the pass rush win rate. I have to show them some of the highlights. I got to go, hey, look, this is why Alex Wright and Miles Garrett were able to get to so-and-so. This is why Isaiah McGuire was able to get to so-and-so, because of this pressure that you did not have over the last how many years.
Now, the other part of it that I do wonder, if you give every GM 6 years in the NFL.
Abdul Carter and Will Campbell have been pretty good, I think.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we'll continue to monitor. But if you give every GM in the NFL six cracks at it, eventually they're going to put together a good draft class out of six. So you asked about trust. I will say the trust has gone up. It's only been 3 weeks. The trust has gone up. But do you have to meet a certain win threshold? Do you have to show that all the arrows are pointing up? Because you said, can the rookies be really good and them still lose a whole bunch of games? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and I also got to say the direct correlation. Like I can bring up Abdul Carter, who you would have had a chance to draft at number two. I understand that. Will Campbell, I think, is going to end up being good. Tet McMillen, I think, is going to end up being good. I thought he had a good game in week two. Haven't been really paying attention in week three. But if we'd have taken Travis Hunter right now, I think what that trade did was save me my guts being boiling, because I'd be pretty worked up right now. I'd be pretty worked up over what they're doing and what they're messing up with Travis Hunter right now. Had we had Travis Hunter and he was doing the exact same things he's doing in Jacksonville right now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere.
I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
I continue to come back to, there's this space between what Dylan Gabriel does and what Joe Flacco does and readiness and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, Joe's not giving you a chance in this stretch.
Right.
How are we not just, and I think Ashley did acknowledge it, but like, that seems to be a piece we moved to the side far too quickly in this conversation. If it's like, guys, if Joe had this thing functional, which honestly is closer to like 17 points a game, not even, I think she said 20 to 21. If we were just functional, no one would be thinking about Dylan Gabriel right now. The Browns themselves are thinking about Dylan Gabriel because that was the word going into the Packers game. And I was honestly surprised they didn't go to Dylan halfway through that game.
I just think if the goal, Nick, is to win games, I don't know how people say that Joe Flacco is giving you a chance to win games.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not. I mean, everything has been about, hey, defense, please, please be Superman.
Yeah. Well, not just that. What I think frustrates me is, because the idea is Joe keeps you competitive, right?
Supposed to.
Okay, but the whole point on from Kevin for week to week just keeping the locker room engaged, keeping them believing that they can win. And that is the value of this Green Bay win. And I understand maybe in their mind, well, that extends Joe's window or his leash out a little bit. But, okay, what if you – we focus so much on this perfect timing. This is the perfect time to go from one guy to another. That doesn't exist. It's the NFL.
Right.
Like this idea that there's a pie in the sky. Do you think the Giants think this is the ideal moment to go to Jackson Dart?
No.
Or do you think they're like, oh, crap, the you-know-what hit the fan. We got to find this out real quick. I guess my frustration is if you hold on to Joe too long and the team stops believing they can win with him, that is as disastrous as going to the quarterback, oh, it's too early, and they think this is about evaluation instead of winning.
Right, and the other thing, Nick, is if the guys in the locker room do believe that, that Joe gives them a better chance and they can win with Joe, that is not in any way based on what he's done in the first 3 weeks. That's based on reputation. That's based on his football card. That's based on his history. This is a 40-year-old quarterback. Nobody should be that surprised that a 40-year-old quarterback looks like a 40-year-old quarterback. This isn't Tom Brady now. You know what I mean? That was an outlier. That was somebody who just defies logic. This is usually what it probably looks like when you're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback. This isn't 37-year-old Joe Flacco. This isn't 35-year-old Joe Flacco. This is 40-year-old Joe Flacco, who in the first 3 weeks has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And the only ones that are even in the same conversation as Joe are either rookie quarterbacks or like second-year quarterbacks.
And when the Browns made Dylan the backup, they told you they were comfortable playing him early in the season because he's one hit away from that happening organically.
Yes. A backup quarterback's job is to go in whenever the organization needs that guy to go in. Provide a spark, maybe be an improvement. Dylan Gabriel is the backup quarterback. They decided that they were going to move on from Kenny Pickett, and they were going to make Dylan the backup quarterback. So you have to give him the backup quarterback responsibilities.
I would almost say, and not almost, I'm gonna remove the qualifier. People in town are thinking about Dylan Gabriel the way we should be thinking about Shador. The Browns have told you by saying he's not going to play this year. What they really mean is he's not going to play as long as we have a chance to win.
Right.
He's the evaluation guy. He's the guy that you're going to have. Hey, when the you-know-what hits the fan, then we're going to go to Shador for 3 games to see what we have for the next year, the way the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts in 2020. Dylan's the guy that can be part of winning now. And listen, there might be scenarios where this one might be more a better scenario than this one, but it's the NFL. It is sink or swim, and Dylan Gabriel is someone's grandpa. All right? It is time. I've heard that. I've heard he has grandchildren already. He's already tapping into his 401k. He's living the good life. Like, this is, and by the way, the whole idea that, that Shador was a developmental guy when he played 40 games in college was insane. But that was juxtaposed to Dylan, who played damn near 60 games in college.
And the things that you like about Dylan, or the things that the Browns like about Dylan, are like kind of advanced quarterback related things.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't usually synonymous with rookies.
Yeah.
They talk about his processing. They talk about his ability to read defenses.
It's the intangibles.
Yeah, but it's like advanced quarterback stuff. You know, if he was 21 years old or 20 years old and he didn't have a whole bunch of starts in college and he didn't play in a whole bunch of offenses in college and he didn't play against a variety of defenses in college, and I know none of that was the NFL, but that's part of what makes him a little bit more ready than some other rookies from past years.
Isaac is in Shaker Heights. Hello, Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac. Thank you very much.
Oh,
going once.
Isaac.
Going twice. Sold.
Oh, man.
Entertainment is in Worcester. That obviously isn't your name, is it?
Of course. Just like, should no one sit behind somebody and just wait till they get the flu or take the vacation or get the corona in order to start? Hey, that, you know, I mean, come on, fellas. I was actually worked up about, what was it, how long I've been on hold for?
7 hours. You were on for 7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, if you'd have caught entertainment about 20 minutes ago, I was going to just lash out. But I calmed down.
That's why.
Know, like anybody else should do.
We're psychologists, you know, fake psychologists. You know we are. Fake, totally fake.
But, I mean, but come on. You know, come on, fellas. Just imagine someone in your position.
Yes.
You know, you have to sit behind someone and hear them talk all damn day. And then you're going to have to wait the next day, hear them talk all damn day until that person gets a flu or takes a vacation in order for you to start talking. I mean, after a while, you're just going to go berserk.
But entertainment.
Am I correct?
Who wanted to give him a starting job right now? Name one team.
Okay. So you do have a point. Your point is legit. All right? I'm not arguing your point. I'm just speaking on behalf of anyone sitting behind anyone, okay?
Yeah, I get
so you
that.
Got the thunder on this one here. The thunder is all yours. Man, you carry on and you made me laugh before I hung up. You go ahead, fellas.
All right, Worcester. Thank you. There's entertainment in Worcester. Always good to hear from Wayne County. Cleveland's in Cleveland. Let's bring it back to Cuyahoga County. What's up, Cleveland?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just wanted to tell you that I really don't want to put any of those quarterbacks in, including Watson. I don't want to see that right now because with the value of it, I have these guys that are worth quite a bit if they're pretty good. So I'd rather solidify my offensive line, especially with the problems that I'm having right now, before I put them in over Flacco, which is, he's a great quarterback. He's been there. He's done it. But the value of it, I don't want to. I'd rather him, something happen. I'd rather be him than one of the youngsters. And I'll go through that. I'll let you guys talk about it.
All right, Cleveland. Thank you very much. See, and everybody has a different opinion on this.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it is. I would love to see the young guys out there. If the team thinks they're ready, great. If they don't, play Joe. Honestly, I think it's that simple. We go to Medina County. Boy, we're hitting all the counties. Chris is in Lodi. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, homies?
You are.
Hey, you guys. You guys know how easy we could be at 2-1 right now.
Oh, yeah. We're safety away. We're 1 yard away from being there.
We're one caught pass away. We're one kick away.
Guys, now, I get Flacco's kind of had a couple rough games, but, you know, he put us in position to win game one, and he put us in a good position to kick a good field goal. You know, in the game against the Packers. And I'm not sure if them young guys are savvy enough for that kind of thing yet. And also, you know, I know he's had some receivers open, but he's kind of tossing to the guys that are catching. You know, some of them guys are having a little trouble catching the ball, and I don't know if that's part of the reason he's overlooking some of them maybe, or he's got more confidence in certain targets, you know, where he's checking down and, you know, maybe more confidence in completing those passes than the longer ones that kind of are getting, not kind of, they are. They're getting dropped a lot. I mean, these guys are getting hit right in the hands, and they're not catching the ball right now. So,
to there me, are clearly issues with the passing in, game, right? All the way around.
Why not leave them in there, see what we can do? We got the Lions coming up, I think, right? And then the Vikings, maybe?
Correct.
Yep.
Let's
off to London.
Let's see what happens. And, you know, we got time to put them young guys in. And maybe against the Lions is not the time.
All right, Chris. I don't think it's against the Lions, that's for sure. You got to roll with Joe this week. There's no question. Jim's in Concord. Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I understand everybody looking at Joe and saying he's not playing that good. But I two reasons I wouldn't change. And I'm a Shador guy all the way, but I know Dylan's the next guy in line. But you can ruin the psyche of these young guys. I mean, look at – got rushed in. Trubisky, Darnold, Danny Dimes, he's playing good now. But they all had suffered when they had bad offensive lines and no run game. I mean, our run game's average. It's not even great. And plus all the line problems. That's one reason. And then the second reason is when the game's tight at the end, you want Joe in there because he's been there before. That's just my opinion. But I respect everybody else's opinion on it.
Jim, thank you very much. Jim, I think with some valid points. Yanni is in Mentor. Yanni?
Yanni?
How are we doing, guys?
We are doing fantastic.
I got one question. My question is, why are we always just going at Joe Flacco's throat here? Uncle Joe, you know, we could be 2-1 at this point, just like we just mentioned. And I think we have more problems in the receiving court catching balls than we do Joe himself. I think we just got to take a big, deep breath, realize what we have here. We have a 40-year-old quarterback. He is a vet. And no matter what, whoever we put in front of him is not going to win his football games at this moment. I do not believe that we have a chance at making the playoffs with the rookie quarterback in there. So why can't we just do the old traditional, learn from a vet who's done it, who's been great. He's struggling a little bit now, but he's 40 years old. Let's accept what we have here. It might take him a game or two just to, you know, get things under his belt here. We got two tough matchups coming up, and he's our best option no matter what. You know, Drake Entertainment, whoever tells us.
Was that Yanni, the Yang? Yanni. To Drake's phone call? I think it was. Yes.
Bottom line is here, you shouldn't make a quarterback change. You just won a game. You're first, and you're 1-2, and we'll see where it goes. But I just think the quarterback situation is a mess for this year. I really do. And We'll see how it gets straightened out, if it gets straightened out at some point. Big doings in week 3 in the National Football League. NFL Rapid Fire coming up next here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.